Burrow, welcome back to Fresh Air. When did you start writing fiction?
Let's see. There's a story in here called Wheeler County, which I actually started in 89 or 90, thinking it was going to be a novel. But the truth of the matter was my drug habit was getting out of hand by that time, and I was having trouble even finishing records by that point. And I started pawning everything that wasn't tied down in my house, including the computer that the book was in, and I never backed it up. So that's gone forever. And when I got clean and got out of jail, I hadn't written a song in 4.5 years. And I wrote another record fairly easily, but I guess I was a little paranoid in there, and it seemed to me like I had all this time and energy on my hands, because I didn't have to wake up and find $500 worth of dope. So there wasn't always a melody lying around. So I started writing fiction to write something every day as an exercise. I'm not even sure I ever really thought about publishing it at first. And the first thing I did was I reconstructed Wheeler County from memory and found out it was only a short story after all.
All right. Well, now when you write, you have your choice of fiction, nonfiction, or lyric.
Well, I also write poetry, and I'm writing a play. I write all the time, and I think writing in a lot of different, you know, areas. I think the last record that I made, Transcendental Blues, I think the writing changed quite a bit, and I think it's a direct result of writing prose and writing poetry.
How do you think it changed?
I think it's more poetic. I think, you know, doing this, writing stories is pretty close to what I do as a songwriter anyway. And as a songwriter, the long story songs, the songs that are basically narrative that rhymes, that's the easiest thing for me to do. It's always tougher for me to do something that's a lot less words and a lot more emotionally driven than it is, you know, something that's a story with a beginning and a middle and an end.
I'd like to take a subject about which you've written a song, a short story, and a nonfiction piece, and the subject is witnessing an execution. Before we hear, we'll start with the song, but before we hear it, tell us a little bit about the person whose execution you witnessed.
His name was Jonathan Wayne Nobles, and he was one of several people that I corresponded with on death row around the country. And at one time, I think that was what the extent of my activism was I knew some guys on death row. They wrote me, I wrote them back, and I probably got a little too close, and John was in Texas, and he eventually got a date, and he wasn't innocent. He was guilty. For some reason, innocent guys don't write me. All my guys are guilty. But he asked me to witness his execution, and I was totally unprepared for that and didn't know how to say no, so I said yes. He just wanted one person there that didn't hate him.
What was he guilty of? What was he convicted of?
A really, really heinous double murder. John was in his own estimation, he was an escalating, sexually driven serial killer that happened to get caught the first time.
How did you end up corresponding with people on death row?
I wrote a song in 1990 called Billy Alston, and I've always been opposed to the death penalty. I grew up in Texas in a home that was opposed to the death penalty, and it was just what I was taught. I was just taught that that's probably not a good thing for us to be as a people and for our government to be involved in doing, for a lot of reasons. Then I wrote a song called Billy Austin that sort of deals with the subject, and then people from the movement started calling and writing me, and then inmates started writing me. And over the years, then my life got out of hand, and when I came back shortly after I started making records and being visible again, Tim Robbins called me, and he had just finished Dead Man Walking, and he asked me to write a song for that soundtrack, and that was LS Unit 1. And then